Okay, thank you everybody for coming. Once again, I'd like to welcome Yehoshua. Yehoshua is a product of our shul and our local institutions, as well as obviously is in the Kollel at Yeshiva University at Ben Yisrael Chanan. And I want to thank him each and every time. Without further ado, Yehoshua.
So I wanted to speak tonight about a topic that's presented at length in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim. It's the topic of the Arei Miklat. It's actually quite interesting that the Arei Miklat are repeated throughout in the Torah. We actually find discussion of the Arei Miklat four distinct times in the Torah. Who knows the first time we encounter the Arei Miklat? Trivia question? You? Anybody? Parshas Mishpatim. Because Parshas Mishpatim is the first time that we have the instance of a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. And the Torah tells us that an inadvertent murderer, someone who murders without intention, so he's supposed to flee to the Ir Miklat, literally a city of refuge. Then the next time that we encounter the Arei Miklat, we have a much more lengthy presentation at the end of Parshas Maaseh, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Torah goes into all of the laws of ritzicha, of murder, in the ways in which one is considered a murderer, a rotzeach b'mezid, someone who has intention, or rotzeach b'shogeg, someone who doesn't. And before it gets into all of those laws, it first presents the Arei Miklat. Then afterwards, a couple of weeks ago, in Parshas Va'aschanan, we read about Moshe Rabbeinu, Az Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim, that Moshe set aside three of the Arei Miklat in the Eiver Hayardim. Because we know that there were six Arei Miklat in total. There were three in the Eiver HaYarden, to the east of the Jordan River, and there were also three in Eretz Yisrael proper, to the west of the Jordan River. That's not counting the 42 Arei HaLevim. There were 42 cities that were dedicated to the Levim, which according to most also functioned as Arei Miklat, but that wasn't their primary function, and there are distinctions between the primary six and the secondary 42. For tonight's discussion, we're going to focus in on the primary six. Then lastly, we encounter the Arei Miklat in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shoftim, where we have probably the most extensive of presentations of Arei Miklat. And so I want to take the opportunity tonight to try to delve into that topic a bit and try to perhaps shed light on a new approach or a deeper look at the Arei Miklat. So just to continue the little bit of review we've done so far, what is the purpose of the Arei Miklat? Why do we have Arei Miklat in our legal system? Howie?
The city of refuge for the person who murdered accidentally.
Right, so when we say that it's a city of refuge, so from whom are we saving this Rotzeach B'Shogeg? The Goal Adam, right, the Avenger. Right? Okay, so what happens is with the case before us, we have Reuven, who's the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, right? Rachmana Litzlan, he murders Shimon, but he didn't intend to do this at all. He was swinging at a tree, and by accident his hand fell off of his axe, and it threw the blade of his axe toward Shimon, and unfortunately it killed Shimon. So now Shimon's relatives, or his closest relative, is considered the Goel Hadam. And the Torah describes how obviously the relatives of Shimon are going to be very heated, asher yecham levavo, they're going to be very upset. And the Torah is concerned that the relatives of Shimon, of the deceased, are now going to come after the murderer and kill him. And therefore we have the Arei Miklat to protect the life of Reuven, of our Rotzeach B'Shogeg. So that's one purpose, and that's certainly the purpose that we see from this week's Parasha, and we'll go into the Psukim in just a second. There's also another purpose to the Arei Miklat. So can anybody think of another purpose of why we need the Arei Miklat? So Dr. Yonatan Grossman, I like to quote him often when I come to speak here at Rina. So he distinguishes between two purposes for the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and this is not his distinction, it's already way back in the Gemara, but he connects it to the different presentations in the Torah. So he says that the Arei Miklat are not only cities of refuge, they're not only meant to protect the life of the murderer, they're also intended as a certain punishment, what we call galus. If anyone's ever learned the Maseches of Makos, the whole second parak of Makos is dedicated to the topic of Ritzicha B'Shogeg, and a common theme there is this concept of galus, of exile, where we send the Rotzeach B'Shogeg to this city, the Ir Miklat, as a certain punishment, almost a quasi-imprisonment. He has to stay there, we know, until whose death? The Kohen Gadol. Exactly. Until the Kohen Gadol dies. So this Rotzeach B'Shogeg must remain within the confines of the Ir Miklat. He is not allowed to leave the Ir Miklat, and if he does, then he endangers his life. Because once he leaves the Ir Miklat, so then the Goel Hadam is allowed to come after. Yes?
Is it also isolating him? Meaning, does he interact with anyone within the Ir Miklat, or is that also part of the punishment?
So, good question. So, he absolutely interacts with people within the Ir Miklat. The Gemara actually says that we give him his entire livelihood. Very famously, the Gemara says that if it's a student who's the Rotzeach B'Shogeg and he needs his Rebbe, so we send the Rebbe along to the Ir Miklat as well, so that he can learn Torah with the Rebbe there. Okay, so absolutely we have the interaction of the Rotzeach, but nonetheless, it's certainly a type of exile where we take him from his original plot of land, wherever he was, in the south, in the north, wherever, and we send him to the Ir Miklat. So now I just want to get quickly into the Psukim to show, this is Dr. Grossman's analysis, how the two different parshios at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Maaseh, and also this parsha in Sefer Dvarim and Parshas Shmos, Parshas Shoftim, how they get at both of these concepts of on the one hand being a city of refuge, an Ir Miklat of protection from the Goel Adam, and on the other hand, a galus, a type of exile. So if you take a look at source number one, that's this week's parsha. So go straight to Pasuk Dalet, for example. So the Torah introduces Vizeh Devar Harotzeach. These are the laws of the murderer. Asher Yanus Shama Vachai, who will flee to this city. Shama means the Ir Miklat. Vachai, and thereby he will live. Again, in the next pasuk Hey. So it describes how this murder happened. Asher Yavos Ehu Vayar. They come to the forest, and as I described before, so some murder takes place, and then at the end of the pasuk, Hu Yanus Elachas Hearim Ha'ile Vachai. So he should flee to one of these cities, and thereby he will live. Vachai. That's repeated in both pasuk Dalet and pasuk Hey. Clearly, the intention here, the purpose of the Ir Miklat, is to allow the continuation of the Rotzeach's life. Otherwise, we're afraid for his life. Pen ki yecham levava. If we take a look at source number two, this is at the end of Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Maaseh. So there, you can realize that there's no mentioning of any chayim, of vachai. That doesn't seem to be the purpose of running to the Ir Miklat. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hikrisem lachem arim, arim miklat yana lachem, so you should set aside for yourselves cities of refuge, and that's what they should be for you. V'nas shama rotzeach maki nefesh bishgaga. And the person who kills Bishogeg inadvertently should run to that city. And then in the next pasuk, V'ahayu lachem ha'arim le'miklat mi-go'el, so they will be a refuge from the Goel Hadam, V'lo yamus harotzeach ad omdo lefnei ha'edah la'mishpat. And this murderer shall not be put to death until he comes before the court. So Dr. Grossman points out that only in Parshas Maaseh do we find that we're engaging with this murderer in the legal system. We have a certain court proceeding to which he is subject. He has to come to court, and then the judges have to decide whether he was a Rotzeach B'Mezid, and therefore he would receive capital punishment, or he was a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and we would send him off to the Ir Miklat. But what seems to be is that these are two options as to how to treat the Rotzeach B'Shogeg in response to what he did. Either we put him to death because he was bemazed, or we send him to the Ir Miklat because he was B'Shogeg. Either way, it's a response, it's a reaction, it's a punishment. There's no mentioning of Vachai. We're not only trying to save his life within the parsha of Maaseh at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. But when we jump back, or when we jump further to this week's parsha, to Parsha Shoftim, there we have the emphasis on Vachai. And that's how we get to these two concepts, how on the one hand the Ir Miklat is supposed to be a city of refuge, as Howie said before, to protect the life of the murderer, and on the other hand, it's supposed to be a type of punishment, a quasi-imprisonment of the murderer. You ever had a question?
Yeah. Second reason then, why would he have to nas shama?
Sorry?
Why would he have to nas just to flee, right?
Right, right.
Why would he have to flee there if it's more a just be exiled.
Right. So I think they're not exclusive. I certainly think they're complementary. And even in the parsha in Maaseh,
the two reasons are not.
Yeah, right. The two reasons are not exclusive. They're certainly complementary. And I think that the language of Enos certainly does hit on that first reason, that we're trying to run away from the avenger. Unless you interpret it as like this is his punishment, it has to be fulfilled immediately. But I agree with you. I think it emphasizes the first point. Yeah.
I think that the pasuk from Maaseh, there are two stages here. One is before the trial, and one is after the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Pasuk from Maaseh is talking.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, in Maaseh, it's talking about before the trial.
Before, so there, I don't think there's any.
There's no punishment yet because we haven't decided. Correct.
There is just fleeing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Punishment only comes into play.
Right. And just to explain that a bit further, just to explain this concept. So let's go through back to our case with Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven again kills Shimon inadvertently. So what Reuven does before his trial proceeding, he runs straight to the Ir Miklat in order to protect his own life. Then the court calls for him. They tell him, come to court. We're going to judge your case and decide whether you are Rotzeach B'Mezid and you would receive capital punishment. Rotzeach B'Shogeg will send you back to the Ir Miklat. Or you're even less than that, and then you're free to go to live at your home. Then after the court proceedings transpire and they decide, oh, so he was a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and then they send him back to the Ir Miklat. So the language of Enos, as my father is pointing out correctly, is referring to the pre-trial part of this case, where Reuven killed inadvertently, and now he has to go straight to the Ir Miklat in order to protect his life, because the court proceedings haven't yet happened. Okay, those are all words of a lengthy introduction. Okay. So what I would like to do tonight is perhaps try to shed light on an additional purpose of the Ir Miklat, aside from these two pragmatic, functional purposes of either being a city of refuge, of protection, or also a city of exile, of galus. So I think the Torah also gets, the Torah and much after, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, really get at another concept that the Ir Miklat is trying to drive home, and that's what I would like to focus on tonight. So in order to get into that, I'd like to start with a couple of questions that arise from a closer reading of the text, both in Sefer Dvarim and Sefer Bamidbar. So I think the first question that really at least strikes my eye when I think about the Ir Miklat and their presentation in the Torah and also in Navi, which we'll get to in a second, is the consistent context in which the Torah presents the Ir Miklat. In both Parshas Maaseh, Parshas Shoftim, and in Sefer Yehoshua, the introduction to the Ir Miklat, or the juxtaposition with the Ir Miklat, is always Eretz Yisrael. It's either entry into the land, or the setting out of the borders of the land, or the conquering of the land. So let's take a look inside. I didn't put everything here, but in Parshas Maaseh, immediately before the Torah describes the laws of the Ir Miklat, so it immediately before that, it spells out all of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And then right afterwards, it discusses the laws of the Ir Miklat. So that's Parshas Maaseh. In Parshas Shoftim, so the opening pasuk of Perek Yotes in source number 1, Ki achris Hashem Elokecha es hagoyim, asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lecha es artzam, virishtam v'yashavta v'areihem uv'vatehem. When Hashem will cut off or do away with the nations who are residing in your land, and you will drive them out, and you will reside in their cities and in their houses. The introductory pasuk to the laws of the Ir Miklat is about entry into Eretz Yisrael. And that's consistent with many themes that we find in Parsha Shoftim, which are all about Eretz Yisrael as well. We have the Melech, and we have a lot of the Egla Arufa at the end, a lot of laws that are connected to Eretz Yisrael. And when you look at Sefer Yehoshua in source number 3, so we have Ela Hayu Arei HaMu'ada L'chol B'nei Yisrael. Basically, what happens in Parakaf of Sefer Yehoshua, so the Navi describes how the nation set up the Ir Miklat. They took these laws and they put them into practice. They actually set aside the cities. And this perek follows on the setting aside of the borders and all of the lots of inheritance that were given to all of Klal Yisrael at the time of Sefer Yoshua. After the nation conquered the entire land, so then they all resided in specific locations in Eretz Yisrael where they were supposed to reside. That's what the Sefer describes to us in the middle prakim of Sefer Yoshua. And then in Perek Yutes, the very next perek, it tells us about the setting up of the Ari Mikla. So we have very consistent context for the Ari Miklat. The introduction to the Ari Miklat is something about Eretz Yisrael. It's either its borders, or it's the entry into the land, or the setting up of the inheritance of the land. And the first question that I'd like to pose is, what is it about that context? Why is it so crucial that the Torah and also Sefer Yoshua and the Navi, why does it have to introduce the Ari Miklat by first pointing out the context of Eretz Yisrael? That's question number one. Questions number two and three focus on repeated languages that we find in the Pesukim about the Ari Miklat, both in Parshas Shoftim and in Parshas Maaseh. So if you take a look at source number one, so I have it bolded throughout here. Ki achis Hashem Elokecha Sagoyim, Yutes Aleph, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosin Lecha, the land that Hashem will give you. Pasuk Beis, Shalosh Arim Tavdiyalach, you should set aside for yourselves three cities, Besuch Artzecha, within your land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosin Lecha Lerishta. Again, the land that Hashem is giving you to settle. Pasuk Gimel, Tachin Lecha Haderech, you should ready the path towards the Ari Mikla. Veshilashta es gevul artzecha, and you should split the borders of your land into three. Asher yanchilacha Hashem Elokecha. Which land? The land that Hashem is giving you as an inheritance. Then the Torah goes into the laws of the Rotzeach, and when it recaps in Pasuk Ches, ve'im yarchiv Hashem Elokecha es gevulacha, if you conquer more land than what you're going to have right now, Ka'asher nishbala avosecha, as he promised your forefathers, v'nosan lecha es kol ha'aretz asher diber lasis la'avosecha, the land that Hashem will give to you. Pasuk Yud, v'lo yishafich dam naki bekerav artzecha, innocent blood shall not be spilled within the midst of your land. Which land? Asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha nachala. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times within the set of 8 psukim, the Torah emphasizes, it stresses that this land that you're about to enter, this land that I'm talking to you about with regard to the laws of Ari Miklat, is the land that Hashem is giving you. Asher yanchilecha Hashem elokecha. Asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha. What is the significance of the fact that Eretz Yisrael is a divine land? It's a land promised by Hashem. It's the one given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the significance of that concept within the realm of the laws of Ari Miklat? That's question number two. Question number three, jumping to source number two, Parshas Maaseh. So again here, we have a repeated language. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem, ki atem uvrim es hayardin arta kanan. This is Pasuk Yud. So speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them that when they cross the land, v'hikrisem lachem arim, they should set aside for themselves cities, arim miklat tihiyena lachem. These cities should be cities of refuge for them. Tihiyena, they should be, they should exist for them. Next pasuk Yud Beis. V'hayu lachem he'arim. These cities should be for you, they should exist for you, l'miklat migo'el, as a city of refuge. Yud Gimel. V'ha'arim asher titenu, the cities that you're going to place, shesh arim miklat tihiyena lachem. They will be for you, they will exist for you. Yud Dalid. Eish shalosh he'arim titenu me'ever le'yardin. You'll have three cities to the east. Three cities to the west, Arei Miklat Tihiyena. Totally gratuitous. The Torah already told us that these are going to be Arei Miklat for you. We already got the message, but nonetheless, in Pasuk Yudalad, it repeats it again. And if that were not enough, then in Pasuk Tazvav, Livnei Yisrael v'lager v'latoshav b'socham, Tihiyena sheish ha'arim ha'ila l'miklat. These six cities shall be for you. Being, existence, havaya. What is it about this repeated language of Havaya, Tihiyena, Vehayu, that is so striking within the context of the Ari Miklat? Why is it that the Torah repeats this language of Havaya when detailing the laws of the Ari Miklat? So just as a quick recap, we have three questions that we posed within a close reading of the text in Parshas Shoftim and Parshas Maaseh. Question number one is the repeated context of the Ari Miklat. Why is it that the Ari Miklat always follow something about Eretz Yisrael? Whether it be its borders, inheritance, entry into the land, it's always following Eretz Yisrael. Question number one. Question number two, why the repetition of a divine land? Asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lecha lereshta. Why is it so important from the perspective of Ari Miklat that this land is a divine land? And question number three, the repeated usage of Havaya. What is it about the existence of the Ari Miklat? What is the Torah trying to get at by stressing the being and the existence of the Ari Miklat within Eretz Yisrael? Those are our three questions, and I'd like to use those questions as a platform, again, to try to delve into perhaps a new perspective on a role and the purpose of the Ari Miklat. And in order to answer those three questions, so I'd like to use the window of some of the psakim of the Rambam, some comments of the Rambam. If we take a look at source number four, so the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Ches, in the eighth chapter of Hilchos Rotzeach, the Rambam details for us all of the laws of Ari Miklat. And in the very first halacha of that chapter, look at what he tells us. Source number four. Mitzvas ase lehafrish Ari Miklat. There is a positive commandment to set aside cities of refuge. Shene emar, as we know from the Torah, shalosh arim tavdil lach. You shall set aside for yourselves three cities. Ve'in arim miklat no hagos, ela be'eretz Yisrael. The Rambam tells us, and this is the very first halacha of his chapter, where he's going to spell out a whole number of laws with regard to arim miklat. 8, 9, 10 different laws. And in the very first one, he tells us that the arim miklat you have to set aside, that's a mitzvah, and guess what? The Ari Miklat are applicable, they're relevant, only in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if that were the only Rambam, so okay, I would say perhaps the Rambam really felt it necessary to say right away, you should know, the only place where we have Ari Miklat is Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you getting confused. Maybe you'll come to set up Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz. I want to dispel that notion right away. But the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in his counting of the mitzvos, in two different places, does the same exact thing. When he mentions the mitzvah of the Ari Miklat, he goes out of his way to tell us that the mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael. In Mitzvah Sasei Kuf Pei Beis, source number 5, he tells us, Va'mitzvah Kuf Pei Beis, 182, He shatzivanu lehavdil sheish Ari Miklat. This is the positive commandment to set aside the Ari Miklat. He quotes for us the psukim, doesn't tell us any halachos about this, about the setting aside of the Ari Miklat, and then at the very end, mentions one halacha. Uchvar zacharnu, he's mentioning what he already said earlier in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Vav 176, Amram, the saying of Chazal, Ari Miklat eino hagos ela ba'aretz. Ari Miklat apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So what we have from the Rambam is as follows. In Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Vav 176, Mitzvah Kuf Pei Beis 182, and in the very first halacha of Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Ches, where the Rambam speaks at length about all of the laws of Ari Miklat, in all three of those places, when the Rambam mentions the mitzvah to set aside, to delineate Ari Miklat, he tells us that the Ari Miklat apply only in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a notion of Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz. We have this notion of Ari Miklat only in Eretz Yisrael. Why is it that the Rambam feels it necessary to drive home the point every single time that he mentions the mitzvah to delineate the Ari Miklat that they only apply in Eretz Yisrael? So much so that he has to weave it into the very first halacha in Perek Ches of Hilchos Rotzeach, where he talks about all of the laws of Ari Miklat. In addition to that, there's a very interesting Rambam, if you turn the page to source number 7. So this is the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Sefer Mada, the very, very beginning of the Yad HaChazakah. So the Rambam there is talking about the laws of Ir HaNidachas, which we read about last week, the city that becomes that is destroyed because the majority of its inhabitants are worship Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam tells us, in Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet, the Ari Miklat cannot become Ir Hanidachas because the Torah tells us with regard to Ir Hanidachas, be'achad she'arecha, in one of your cities. Next, V'lo Yerushalayim naaseis ir hanidachas lefi shelo nischalka l'shvatim. In Yerushalayim also cannot become the ir hanidachas because it wasn't apportioned to the different shvatim. The theme in the Rambam here, the reason why Yerushalayim cannot become an ir hanidachas, is because Yerushalayim is the property of all of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't belong to one specific shevet. It was placed, Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda, each had territorial possession of Yerushalayim, but it's so to speak, its monetary ownership was to all of Klal Yisrael. And in order for a city to become an Ir HaNidachas, it must belong to a specific sect, a specific individual or a specific shevet of Klal Yisrael. Since Yerushalayim belongs to everyone, to the corporate entity, therefore it does not become an Ir HaNidachas. That's the theme in the Rambam. And before the Rambam tells us about Yerushalayim not becoming an Ir HaNidachas, he tells us that the Ari Miklat cannot become Ir HaNidachas. And the Ravid jumps on him right then and there, and he says, I don't know where you got this from. Lo yadati me'ayin lo. I have no idea where the Rambam got this from, that the Ir Miklat cannot become an Ir HaNidachas. And if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah in source number 8, so he explains along the lines of what I just described about Yerushalayim, that the Ir HaNidachas, the Ari Miklat were devoted by certain Shvatim. Again, the Torah tells us that the Ari Miklat were placed along third lines of Eretz Yisrael. From the southern border to one third of the land, going south to north, was one Ir Miklat. Then from the first third to the second third was another Ir Miklat. And then at the northern border, there was a third Ir Miklat. So those cities came from specific tribes. Whichever land the Ir Miklat was found in, so that tribe that had that land had to give up some of its land so that they would have an Ir Miklat. However, explains the Kesef Mishnah, despite the fact that the Shvatim had to give up of their own land for the purpose of Ari Miklat, nonetheless, the Ari Miklat were not attributed, monetarily speaking, to the Shevet. He says, Einam miyuchadim lanosnim. They're not designated to the givers. They're not ascribed, they're not given to the people who gave up of their land for the Ir Miklat. And therefore, the Ir Miklat is treated the same exact way as Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam. Both Yerushalayim and the Ir Miklat, both of them are cities that are part of the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. They're not designated to a specific shevet or specific individual. And since they are really part of the entire nation, therefore they can't become an Ir HaNidachas. And the question is, what is the significance of the fact that the Ir Miklat belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that its territory, its specific territory, came from one shevet or another? What's the significance of the fact that it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael? So just to review, to catch ourselves up, we saw in the Rambam that there was a huge emphasis on Ari Miklat being applicable only in Eretz Yisrael. We have that in Hilchos Ritzeach, and we have that in the Sefer HaMitzvos over and over again. Whenever the Rambam talks about the mitzvah to set aside the cities of refuge, he always says, they're nohig only in Eretz Yisrael. That's point number one. Point number two, the Rambam goes out of his way to tell us that the Ari Miklat cannot become Ir HaNidachas, and the Kesef Mishnah explains why. Because they're really owned by, or they're really applicable to all of Klal Yisrael. Since they're applicable to all of Klal Yisrael, they cannot become an Ir HaNidachas. The question is, what do these sources from the Rambam suggest about the nature of the Ir Miklat? So I'd like to suggest as follows. I think what the Rambam is getting at here is a fundamental concept about how we view Eretz Yisrael within the larger religion and within our legal system, within our value system as a whole. When we come to thinking about Eretz Yisrael a priori, without knowing anything, so certainly we know that from a functional perspective, it allows Klal Yisrael to live independently. We don't have to live under the rulership of other nations because we have our own land. Certainly it has that efficient, pragmatic, functional role. That's number one. Number two, we know that there are specific mitzvos that apply to Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvos hakluyos ba'aretz, And that's because of an inherent holiness, a form of Kedusha that is embedded within Eretz Yisrael. We know both of those things. But I think that what we're getting at here, from all of the sources in the Rambam, and what we'll connect back to Ir Miklat in just a second, is a third perspective on what Eretz Yisrael means, within our value system. And that's that Eretz Yisrael is not only a functional place, and it's not only a holy place. It's also the national headquarters of the Jewish people. It's the homeland of Jewish society. The place where the fundamental Jewish society is, the essentials of Jewish society, is in Eretz Yisrael. It's the national headquarters of the Jewish people. And that being the case, I think we can explain why the Rambam goes out of his way to say that the Ari Miklat are specifically limited to Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? So just give me one more word of introduction and then I'll tie it all back. Promise. The fact that Eretz Yisrael is the national headquarters of the Jewish people means that it has its infrastructure, the places within it, its structures, its buildings, its locales, they all have to express the fundamental value system of a Jewish society. The fact that Eretz Yisrael is the national headquarters of the Jewish people, that it's the homeland of the Jewish people, means that it must express the fact that it is that homeland. It has to have things that tell us that it is that homeland. Mashallah mahadavar domeh. So I was thinking of, this is a rather kind of crude mashal, but I think it drives home the point. So it's baseball season. So if you go to Yankee Stadium, or to any stadium around the 30 parks in Major League Baseball, so you'll always see behind home plate, there's a logo of the team that plays at that stadium. Right behind home plate, there's the classic NY of the New York Yankees, painted onto the field in white. There's no other white paint on the field. It's all grass and sand, besides for that white logo of the New York Yankees, right behind home plate. What is the purpose of that logo in Yankee Stadium? What's the purpose of that symbol? So the purpose is, I bet you the ownership would tell you at least, that we're trying to mark Yankee Stadium as the home of the New York Yankees, as they say, I think, on Yes Network, the home of the New York Yankees. The way in which we get to say that it's the home of the New York Yankees is by having that logo on the field. That expresses the fact that this stadium belongs to this team. So the nimshal is, and certainly in the Lahavdil way, Eretz Yisrael has to have a certain infrastructure that expresses its quality of being the homeland of the Jewish people. But what does it mean to express the quality of being the homeland of the Jewish people? It means that that infrastructure is going to accentuate the values of the Jewish people. The values. So now let's connect it back to Ir Miklat. What is the purpose of Ir Miklat? What's the value that underlies Ir Miklat? The sanctity, protection, and value of life. The length to which we go in order to make sure that every life of a member of Klal Yisrael is protected. That's the value of the Ir Miklat. And so what the Rambam is telling us when he says that the Ari Miklat apply only in Eretz Yisrael, he's telling us that Eretz Yisrael has this requirement that we have an infrastructure that expresses the values of the Jewish community. Since one of those prime values is the value and protection and sanctity of life, therefore Eretz Yisrael must have the Ari Miklat in order to express and convey that value. That's why the Rambam goes out of his way to tell us time and time again that the Ari Miklat apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Chutz La'aretz, in Teaneck, New Jersey, of course, each and every one of us as individuals has that value of protection of life. But we're not necessarily going to accentuate it on a communal and national way because we're living in Teaneck, New Jersey, not the national headquarters of the Jewish people. So when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have the opportunity to set up an infrastructure that accentuates and emphasizes the values of the community, then that is what is incumbent upon you. Then you have to embed within the fabric of Eretz Yisrael the Ari Miklat and all other institutions that also drive home the values of the Jewish community. And thus, says the Rambam, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, this structure of the Ari Miklat, it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Again, because it's the national headquarters. It belongs to the entire Jewish community. It's not about you or me. It's not about Reuven or Shimon. It's about the entire Jewish community and the values and principles that drive it and that are expressed by the infrastructure of its national headquarters in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, then we can return to the three questions with which we began. Why is it that the Torah always has the context of the entry into Eretz Yisrael prior to the setting up of the Ari Miklat? Because it's trying to drive home this point. That the Ari Miklat are not just something functional. It's not just to protect an individual's life or to punish him with exile. The Ari Miklat also serve a purpose of an expression of a quality of Eretz Yisrael. That quality being its status as a national headquarters. And therefore, of course, it's going to be tied at the hip with entry into Eretz Yisrael. Question number two, why are we emphasizing over and over again that this land is the land that Hashem gave to us? Precisely for the same point. Because it's the infrastructure of this land that has to express the divine values that drive our community. It's a divine land that acts based on divine values, such as the value, protection, and sanctity of life that the Ari Miklat express. And therefore, the Torah wants to drive home over and over again. This is not just a stam land. It's not just four borders within which you reside in order to be able to function independently. That's not all that Eretz Yisrael is about. Eretz Yisrael is also about a divine land that's a national headquarters that needs to express the values of a Jewish community and therefore needs to have Arei Miklat. And number three, why the repetition of Havaya, of Vihayu, of Tihiyena? So I'd like to turn to another Medrash in order to answer that question. So before we discussed the Rambam's Psak that Arei Miklat cannot become Ir HaNidachas, and we explained the position of the Kesef Mishnah, that Arei Miklat do not become Ir HaNidachas because really they belong to the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. They don't belong to a specific Shevet or individual, they belong to all of Klal Yisrael. But the Medrash, in source number 11, so the Medrash has a different explanation as to why Arei Miklat cannot become Ir HaNidachas. The Medrash says, Tihiyena al Yeasu Ir HaNidachas. It has a drash. The Pasuk tells us Tihiyena. It has this repetition of Havaya. They have to be, they have to exist. So the Medrash says, Tihiyena al Yeasu Ir HaNidachas. They should not become an Ir HaNidachas because they have to exist. What do we know about an Ir HaNidachas? Once an Ir HaNidachas is destroyed, can it be rebuilt? Absolutely not. So says the Medrash, because the Arei Miklat need to be, they need to exist within Eretz Yisrael, therefore they cannot become Ir HaNidachas. What does this say about the language of Havaya? So I think the connotation is as follows. Again, based on the perspective that we're trying to develop. If Eretz Yisrael is truly the national headquarters of the Jewish people, and therefore needs infrastructure, it needs institutions that express the values of the Jewish community that resides within it, so then those institutions must be permanent. They have to be fixed in place. They can't be temporary, they can't be fleeting, and they can't be flexible. They have to be ensconced within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They have to be embedded within its fabric. Tihiyena, Vehayu, make sure that these cities are in Eretz Yisrael at all times. And therefore, says the Medrash, Tihiyena, al Yeasu Ir HaNidachas. These can't become Ir HaNidachas because then we're going to lose them. And once we lose them, then we lose an essential quality about Eretz Yisrael. So with the 3 minutes or so that we have left, so I just wanted to maybe speak about one or two other sources that I think express this idea that we've developed so far, that the Arei Miklat are not just cities of refuge, of protection, of the Rotzeach, and they're not also just galus of punishment of the Rotzeach, but they also function as an expression of the quality and status of Eretz Yisrael as being a national headquarters of the Jewish people. So if you take a look at the Netziv, source number 14 in the HaMikdavar, so he has an incredible comment. I'm going to say it outside. So the Netziv comments on the words B'soch Artzecha, and he says a really insightful comment. He says, look, if you really want the Ari Miklat to protect the life of the murderer, so then you should really place the Ari Miklat in a foreign land. They should be in Jordan or Syria or Egypt. Why? Because we all know that once we have to pack our passports and pack our bags and go through security and then board the flight and sit, you know, with tight legroom and then eventually get to the whatever country we're flying to, maybe we'll just give up on our trip. And that maybe will be what the Goel Hadam is going to think. The Goel Hadam will be upset that his relative was killed, but he's not going to chase after the murderer if he has to expend all of this energy in order to catch him. So if the Ir Miklat is in a foreign country, then that will do a much better job of saving the Rotzeach than if the Ir Miklat is in Eretz Yisrael, where everybody lives together. Very insightful comment of the Netziv. Very creative, as his derech usually is. So then the Netziv says, no. Bisoch Arzecha. The Ari Miklat have to be within Eretz Yisrael. And he says that this law, that the Ari Miklat have to be within Eretz Yisrael, so it's not necessarily something that coheres with human logic, with human common sense. Rather, it's something that comes from divine logic. Something that comes from Hashem himself. Something that, from a human perspective, we wouldn't necessarily have said. So again, I think the Netziv is getting at the same point. If the Ari Miklat were all about their function, if they were all about saving the life of the Rotzeach, or exiling him, so then it would make sense to have the Ari Miklat in some other country. But says the Torah, no. The Ari Miklat have to be within Eretz Yisrael. Because that's another purpose, another role of the Ari Miklat. Part of the role of the Ari Miklat is to express that special, unique quality of Eretz Yisrael being the national headquarters. Expressing the principles and the values of the Jewish community, of sanctity of life. And therefore they can't be anywhere but Eretz Yisrael.
I have a question.
Yeah. No, go for it. Yeah.
Are you done?
I'm just going to do a quick review. I'll do it after. No, okay. So, you know, I'll come to you for a question after I do a quick review. Just go, we have like 1 minute. Okay. So just let's recap what we saw tonight.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Let's recap what we saw tonight. So, we began by detailing or distinguishing between two functions of the Ari Miklat. On the one hand, we have Parshas Maaseh, which really shows that the Ari Miklat, it illustrates that the Ari Miklat were a kind of punishment for the Rotzeach. On the other hand, we have Parshas Shoftim, which illustrates that the Ari Miklat are a city of refuge, as it sounds, literally, and therefore its purpose is to save the life of the Rotzeach from the Goel Hadam. Those were two purposes that were expressed by the Psukim in both Parshas Maaseh and Parshas Shoftim. Then we asked three questions. Why is it that the Torah introduces the Ari Miklat with Eretz Yisrael consistently, both in Parshas Maaseh, Parshas Shoftim, also in Sefer Yehoshua? Number two, why is it that the Torah repeats the language of Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha, the divine land, the land that Hashem gives you, not just the Stam land? And number three, what is it about the repetition of Havaya, of being of existence? Then we saw the Rambam, where the Rambam emphasized over and over again, each time that he told us the mitzvah to set aside the Ari Miklat, he told us it applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. In addition to that, he told us that the Ari Miklat cannot become Ir Anidachas. Why is that? What accounts for all of these interesting psakim of the Rambam? So we suggested that the Ari Miklat have an additional role besides the two pragmatic functions. They also serve as an expression of the fact that Eretz Yisrael is the national headquarters of the Jewish community, and therefore we need to have infrastructure within that headquarters to express and drive home the values of that community, and the Ari Miklat do just that. Because the Ari Miklat are about that principle, are about that fundamental value of sanctity of life. And therefore, Ari Miklat exists specifically within the confines of Eretz Yisrael, because only Eretz Yisrael is the national headquarters. That's why the Rambam places the emphasis on Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have the context. That's why we have the repetition. That accounts for all of those points. Then we saw a very interesting comment of the Netziv. Maybe we should have thought the Ari Miklat should have been in a foreign country. That would have done its job better. But no, says the Torah, they have to be specifically within Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps because of the idea that we're developing, that Eretz Yisrael is really the national place of the Jewish people, and therefore it has to express its values via the medium of its infrastructure, its institutions, and everything that lies within it. Everyone have a great night.
Okay.